Hello there. I am Dr. Tomasz Chamorro Premusic, author of Don't Be Yourself, Why Authenticity is Overrated and What to Do Instead. And this is a 10-minute chapter-by-chapter summary of my book. The book starts with an introduction, which explains why authenticity isn't really a helpful life hack. It explains how authenticity has become one of the most celebrated traits in every single area of life, especially in the workplace, professional settings, which historically put a lot of pressure on people to not be themselves, and how organizations and leaders, especially in the Western world, have come to basically embrace this cult of authenticity, which may have started as well-meaning or well-intended advice. After all, decades of positive psychology research do show us that the experience of authenticity, so feeling that your behavior is aligned with who you really are, is associated with positive emotions, positive mood states, and other indicators of subjective well-being. And yet, authenticity has also been hijacked by the narcissistic zeitgeist in which we live in, namely excessive praise or celebration of authenticity leads to the cult of individualism and pushing people to ignore others and to forget that at some point their right to be you ends and their obligation to others begins. Then the bulk of this book is divided into two parts. Part one, which explains how authenticity can hurt us, and part two, which tells us what to do instead. What are the better ways of actually conducting yourself, especially in work or professional settings, if you're interested in being a competent or effective leader, if you're interested in advancing your career, and if you're interested in actually creating an inclusive and diverse environment and working culture. So let's begin with part one, which sets out what I refer to as the four authenticity traps. This notion explains that most popular advice around authenticity can be distilled into four mantras that propel people to behaviors that might seem beneficial, but that can actually hurt their objective career success. The first trap tells us that we should always be honest with ourselves and others. And as I explain in this chapter, actually, decades of psychological research show that the vast majority of people are rarely honest with themselves. How we think of ourselves and how we construct our self-concept is mostly a self-enhancing or self-serving bias. Something like 95% of people see themselves as a good person, as having a good sense of humor, as being creative. And in fact, this has very little correlation or relationship with how other people see them. So if we can't be honest with ourselves, how on earth could we possibly be honest with others? And even if we can, or in the instances in which we actually can engage in self-awareness as opposed to self-deceptive, self-enhancement or delusional kind of self-concept crafting, even then, there are many instances in which others don't want us to be honest, but are instead wanting positive reinforcement, positive feedback, or for us to simply engage in pro-social etiquette. The second trap in the next chapter is the notion that we should always be true to our values and follow our heart no matter what. Although this may sound great, actually, as the chapter shows, it really depends on what your values actually are in the first place. What if your values are toxic? What if your values are destructive? What if your values are antisocial? History is replete of examples of people, often even leaders, who had no issue following their own values and showing great consistency between their words and their actions, but who committed atrocious behaviors and were very, very toxic and destructive because they had the wrong values to begin with. Also, even if you aren't a brutal dictator who successfully follows their values to everybody else's peril, the work and society at large is full of people who are so centered in their own values that they have lost the ability to even entertain the possibility that their values are wrong. They have lost sight on the importance or value of questioning their own values. And this explains why the world is becoming so polarized and tribalized. So, be true to your values and follow your heart no matter what isn't very good advice. The third trap is don't worry about what others think of you. And although this might sound like a very poetic and romantic sort of appeal to embracing our inner rebel and sort of like encouraging people to act in non-conformist way, it is actually a ridiculous mantra. First, it's not possible for us to ignore what other people tell us. And there is a obvious paradox or irony in telling people not to worry about what people tell them, because this is a command that cannot be either obeyed or disobeyed. But in reality, the only people who find it hard to focus on what others think of them are people who are on the spectrum or people who are somewhat psychopathic or actually psychopaths. Developmental psychology shows that from a very early age, we learn to see the world from other people's perspective, that empathy, one of the most valuable traits in social life and in society at large, is all about understanding how other people see things, including ourselves, and that even children from the age of 6 or 7 learn how to adjust their behavior to fit certain moral or normative criteria. Besides, the only way to improve and evolve as leaders, employees, and human beings is to successfully internalize the feedback from others. Others are a very valuable source of feedback, and if we ignore them, we will always be stuck in our ways, and perhaps our best case scenario then is to be the hero that we are in our own mind, but not evolved in any objective sense. And the last section of part one deals with the fourth trap, which is this idea that people should bring their whole self to work. Actually, our whole self isn't truly welcome at work because it also includes the grumpy version of us, the opinionated version of us, the version of us that is too impulsive or too self-centered to pay attention to other people's needs. And even when organizations tell us that it's safe to bring our whole self to work, well, usually if you have to tell people that it's safe to do something, the assumption is that they don't feel safe to do so in the first place. So organizations should spend less time telling people, particularly those who are part of the out-group or, you know, diverse group of the workplace, to bring their whole self to work, and instead create inclusive and safe environments where people understand that there is a delicate balance that should be achieved between, on the one hand, feeling free to express certain elements of their identity that are welcomed at work, but also make an effort to be a good organizational citizen and be an effective team member. Any form of collaboration or team cooperation requires us to understand where the right to be ourselves ends and our obligation to others begins. And so now on to part two, which tells us what to do instead. And this part has three chapters. The first is on career advancement, and it highlights how in any consequential interaction, but in any area of life that actually can potentially determine our career success, we're far better off engaging in strategic impression management or strategic self-presentation than just imposing our unedited or unfiltered self on others. The next chapter of this part two explains how leaders should not confuse being a reference to others and being trustworthy or managing themselves with integrity with engaging in inappropriate self-disclosure or not understanding the boundaries between effectively managing their own emotions and communicating their emotions and ideas in a way that makes others better, and actually engaging in unfiltered self-presentation. And finally, the last chapter explains how even though authenticity has been hijacked by diversity and inclusion interventions, it really is a privilege for the elite. In other words, it's only those who are the status quo and who have a lot of power who feel entitled enough to just be themselves and impose their unfiltered and uninhibited self on others. And it usually doesn't end up very well. So that is my book, Don't Be Yourself, Why Authenticity is Overrated and What to Do Instead. Thank you.